MBS, the new Saddam. Mohammed bin Salman, or more properly MBS, as this mass murderer is known, imposed himself as heir apparent to his ailing and senile octogenarian father, King Salman bin Abdul Aziz of Saudi Arabia, in early 2017. He has since indulged in a string of blood-curdling crimes and state-sponsored terrorism that places him in the list of West Asia's notorious tyrants. Stay with us for part one of a two-part program written by different authors and titled MBS, the New Saddam. Here is the first part, authored by Emil Nachler, a former senior intelligence service officer and director of the Political Islam Strategic Analysis Program at the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. Of Lebanese-Palestinian Arab Christian origin, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a research professor and director of Global and National Security Policy Institute at the University of New Mexico in the United States. Stay with us. As Mohammed bin Salman has terrorized his opponents at home and abroad, fear has spread within Saudi Arabia. Has he become the new Saddam of Arabia? As Iraq's Saddam did in the 1980s, Mohammed bin Salman is cementing his power domestically and regionally through fear and economic largesse under the guise of fighting Iran and Islamic revolutionaries. Much like the tyrant of Baghdad did in Iraq, Mohammed bin Salman has crushed his domestic and regional opponents. Both of them have enlisted the support of foreign powers, especially the United States of America and Britain, to buttress their hold on power in their territories and expand their reach internationally. They both spoke the language of reform, which appeals to Western audiences, and both demonized Iran as a promoter of regional instability and a source of evil internationally. They both used chemical weapons against their opponents. Saddam against his Kurdish citizens and against Iran during the 8-year war he imposed on Iran in the 1980s. Mohammed bin Salman against civilians in Yemen. Saddam threatened and later invaded his neighbor Kuwait. Mohammed bin Salman has waged a vicious campaign against his neighbor and fellow Persian Gulf Corporation Council member Qatar, and threatened Qatar with invasion. Saddam and Mohammed bin Salman also cynically donned the mantle of Sunni Islam in their hypocritical claims against the so-called Shia Crescent and against Iran. Saddam's Republic of Fear seems to be slowly morphing into a Kingdom of Fear under Mohammed bin Salman. In his city-busting campaign during the war against Iran, the Iraqi dictator Saddam committed horrible atrocities against civilians in Iranian cities in the 1980s. 30 years later, Mohammed bin Salman is committing equally horrid crimes against innocent civilians in Yemen. The famine and starvation that Mohammed bin Salman's war has wrought on Yemeni children is arguably more calamitous than what Saddam did in Iran. Sadly, both Saddam and Mohammed bin Salman have relied on American military, intelligence and political support in their execution of bloody wars. Former Iraqi dictator Saddam killed tens of thousands of people and arrested and executed hundreds of his opponents, including journalists, academics and peaceful dissidents. Mohammed bin Salman has used the same playbook. The premeditated murder of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi, a Saudi citizen and US permanent resident and a Washington Post journalist, starkly illustrates Mohammed bin Salman's campaign against his critics. Both autocrats used their foreign ministers to weave a pro-regime narrative, mainly for Western audiences, to exonerate their rulers from the war crimes they have committed. Tariq Aziz, Saddam's foreign minister, regaled Western media with his outlandish interviews about Saddam and his service to the West in fighting Iran and Islamic radicalism. Adel al-Jubeir, Mohammed bin Salman's foreign minister, has given frequent interviews presenting the war in Yemen as a Saudi defensive action against evil Iran, and minimizing the horrid human tragedy that Saudi airstrikes have caused in Yemen. Only a few days ago, Adel al-Jubeir described the global reaction to the Saudi murder and dismemberment of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi inside the Saudi consulate building in Istanbul as hysteria. Several examples highlight Mohammed bin Salman's dystopian descent into bloody autocracy and regional chaos. Former Iraqi tyrant Saddam went to war against Iran in September of 1980 under claim that he was protecting the Sunni Arab states against Shia Iran. He was supported by the Arab states of the Persian Gulf, especially Saudi Arabia, and its neighboring family-ruled Emirates, on the ground that the newly established Islamic Republic of Iran planned to export its revolution to the Arab Persian Gulf littoral states. Saddam's dream of defeating the supposed Persian menace next door faded quickly following the defeat of his forces on the Al-Faw Peninsula on the southern tip of Iraq. The casualties of these poorly trained soldiers began to mount, and the spectre of losing the war loomed large. Recognizing this reality, the United States decided to supply Saddam with intelligence and military support. Washington's decision was driven not by love for Saddam, but by painful memory of the hostage crisis and Iran's newly found sense of empowerment in the Persian Gulf region and beyond. American support for the 5-year duration of the war after FAO was pivotal in Iran not winning the war and Saddam not losing it. Over 1 million Iraqis and Iranians died during the war, which lasted for most of the 1980s. Aside from his hatred for Shia Iran, former dictator Saddam went to war to force newly found Islamic Republic of Iran to abrogate the Shatt al-Arab Treaty, which he felt he was forced to sign with the Shah of Iran in Algiers in 1975. The treaty gave Iran the right to pass through the Shatt al-Arab waterway to reach Abadan, Iran's major oil city and port. The former Iraqi dictator Saddam correctly believed at the time that by signing the treaty, the Shah-supported Kurdish rebellion in northern Iraq would end. It did. In return, Saddam expelled Imam Khomeini, who led the Cassette Revolution against the Shahs from southern Iraq. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, continued his anti-Shah movement from France. During the war, Saddam persecuted and terrified the Shia population of Iraq, and right after the war, he gassed Iraqi Kurds in the Iraqi town of Halabja. Also following the war, when oil-rich Persian Gulf Arab states refused to pay Saddam billions of dollars to shore up his depleted budget, he invaded Kuwait in August of 1990. Once this happened, Washington put Saddam in the crosshairs. Upon his appointment by his ailing king as Saudi Arabia's Minister of Defense, the 31-year-old Mohammed bin Salman started his war in Yemen against the Ansarullah movement of Yemen, which has presumably been conducted by a Saudi-led Sunni Arab coalition in which Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates assumed a pivotal role. Like Saddam before him, Mohammed bin Salman has used the supposed Iran menace to justify a war against a neighboring country. In addition to the Sunni Arab states, Mohammed bin Salman has received tacit and explicit support from the Israeli regime and from the United States of America. Washington has extended a vast array of intelligence and tactical support in its prosecution of the war, including weapons that have left thousands of defenseless Yemenis homeless, hungry, and destitute. Airstrikes have caused untold misery and death in Yemen, without much concern in the West other than from human rights organizations. Western politicians and leaders, much as they did during the Iran-Iraq war, have paid lip service to the Yemeni human tragedy without holding Mohammed bin Salman personally responsible and accountable for this tragedy and illegal war. A few days ago, The Independent reported that the death toll in Yemen war could be 5 times higher than we think. It's time for the international community to take responsibility for the humanitarian disaster that the Saudi-led war has created in Yemen. Washington should halt its weapons sales to Saudi Arabia and should hold Mohammed bin Salman personally responsible for the war crimes he is committing in Yemen. In pursuing the war in Yemen, Mohammed bin Salman, much like Saddam, also harbors territorial interests. He wanted to control access to the Bab al-Mandab Strait between the Arabian Sea and the Red Sea, which also connects with the Suez Canal and the Mediterranean Sea on the other side of the Red Sea. When Mohammed bin Salman offered billions of dollars to Egyptian strongman Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to shore up the Egyptian economy, President Sisi gave him Sanafir and Tiran, two strategically located islands in the Red Sea. Mohammed bin Salman's ambition seems to establish Saudi Arabia as the preponderant power in the Arabian Peninsula as a countervailing force to Iran. Years following his disastrous war with Iran, the former Iraqi dictator Saddam invaded Kuwait on 2nd of August 1990, ostensibly to reclaim it as Iraqi territory. Although some Iraqi government officials have at different times referred to Kuwait as the 19th province of Iraq, Saddam's invasion was driven by his anger at the Emirates' refusal to forgive the billions of dollars in debts that Iraq owed Kuwait for the loans it received during the war. Saddam arrogantly believed that this war against Iran helped save Kuwait and other Emirates from Iran. Of course, the American-led coalition declared war on Saddam and forced him to leave the 19th province 100 hours after the start of the war. Mohammed bin Salman's hostility towards Qatar, which has been driven by the Qatari emir Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani's independent streak towards Saudi Arabia and his lukewarm support for Mohammed bin Salman's adventurism in Yemen and bellicose rhetoric towards Iran, led him to declare an illegal siege on Qatar, a fellow member of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. He closed the Qatari-Saudi border and halted all trade with Qatar, which had previously imported most of its foodstuffs over land via Saudi Arabia. Mohammed bin Salman intended to starve the Qatari people, forcing them to rise up against their ruler. This deadly, childish game of blockade and severing of diplomatic relations, which Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates and Egypt supported, has failed to cow Sheikh Tamim into submission. Tamim has survived Mohammed bin Salman's plotting, developed new trade routes and remained an independent player in the region. During the war against Iran, the former Iraqi dictator Saddam dried up the marches in southern Iraq to force the Shia into submission. Mohammed bin Salman is now trying to dig a trench between Saudi Arabia and Qatar to alter the Emirates' geography from a peninsula to an island, thereby further isolating it. The marches are back brimming with wildlife, and Saddam failed to subdue Iraqi Shias. The wasteful trench project will equally fail to force the Qatari ruler into submission. The animus that Saddam exhibited towards Kuwait on the eve of the invasion in 1990 and the bellicose way in which Mohammed bin Salman has displayed towards Qatar differ little in the geopolitics of the Middle East. The difference is that Saddam invaded Kuwait whilst the United States and others strongly advised Mohammed bin Salman against invading Qatar. Saddam's arrogance of power and obsession with regional leadership let him pursue military adventurism in the neighborhood, which brought disaster to him and to his country. In pursuing similar policies, will Mohammed bin Salman face the same fate? Well, dear listeners, tune in tomorrow for the second and last part of our series, Mohammed bin Salman, the New Saddam. Until then, goodbye and God bless.